Bit. Okay. Let's see. We're going to continue and go to slide 38. Slide 38. We're going to continue. Again, we're preparing for Shavuot. Now, this is important. Saturday will be here, and we'll do Saturday, Sunday, and then Sunday night. And so I'm going to be going over as much as I can to get you some information. That's why I announced Thursday would be part of the teaching because of the amount of information that I got to do. Because I want everybody to be prepared for the bread for Saturday, so you'll know what to do. You know what the scripture says, and so to prepare. So we prepared for Passover. We had the meal. We had stuff to get. We knew what to get, but we ain't got it. Everybody come. We prepared it. We had the Passover. Well, Shavuot is one of the three pilgrim feasts, meaning they had to go to Jerusalem for the feast. So this would, when it's a pilgrim feast, that means they had to travel for miles, many miles. They had to travel, those who didn't live there, to go to keep the feast. They had to make this pilgrimage. So it's a big deal to God, because you'll see as tonight goes on why all this information is important. And I want you to be well versed in this so you'll be able to explain it to people. Nothing God does, nothing that he does is just because he's trying to fill in some time. Every single thing he does is very important. There's a reason for it, down to every measurement, colors, everything that God does. It's very insignificant. So, just studying alone, all of these things keep you busy. You know, why did he have all the different things when the tabernacle was built, when they traveled, all the sockets, all of them, some had to be so. Well, it's very significant, every part of it. So, again, in this this particular feast is one of the Moedim's, but this is another unique part of it. And I explained this a little bit on Sunday. This is one that is not given an exact date. Now, Passover, we know. We know the date. He tells us in the first month, on the 14th day. You're right. You take the lamb on the 10th, kill it on the 14th. Then you have the Passover's on the 5th. You see, we have dates. This one you have to count. You have to count to get to that date. And we're going to see how close we can look at some of the things. I'll better explain some of it tonight to you and how close we can get to that. So I stopped. We're talking about themes of Shavuot. We went a little bit into that on Sunday, but couldn't go very far. I want to continue in that because I got a lot to do for Saturday. And Saturday's going to be, we're going to be celebrating and looking at scripture and so forth and celebrating. And I want to make sure you're ready and prepare for that. I'm not sure how much of this you did on your own. What did you look at between the Passover and now, but we're counting down to our last time days. You could count 49, seven Sabbaths, 7 weeks. The word Shabbat, again, when it says, just remember, it means various things. It means weeks also. So if you see that in the scripture and it says Feast of Weeks, what feast are they talking about? Is that a different feast than Shavuot? They're the same. If it says Feast of Weeks, that's the same. So that's what you got to make sure, that when you study and you're reading the scripture, you come across that, you'll see that. Very important principle there for you to look at. So let's look at this. We'll kind of go through as much as we can on the themes of Shavuot, and then because I need to get to a certain part. And I'm not sure, I definitely want to get there tonight. We have to get through this. So let's look at some of these scripture. New revelation. One theme of Shavuot, Pentecost, it's also called Pentecost, which is the Greek understanding, Pente cost is a new revelation of God's will. In Leviticus 23, 15 through 16 and verse 21, which we read on Sunday, it's two notable historical events happen on this day. Two events, and we'll look at both of those as much as we can. But the scripture reading is this as a reminder. You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath. The day after the Shabbat, you count. Now, remember, there's more than just a seventh-day Sabbath. We talked about that. There's also a high holy day, which is also called a Shabbat. Which one do you count from? Right? We got to know that. Let me give you this information. This will help you so you when you're doing your own study. Jesus, our Yeshua, he was the wave offering, the first fruit. So he had to rise from the dead, wave the offering, then return, and then you start count. You count the day after. The day after. So if he becomes the first fruit and he does the wave off and he has to bring it to make the presentation, and then he returns back. And once he returns, remember I told you I sent you down a little trail. Maybe you can take some time to study on yourself. And I told you that when the woman went there he said, "Don't touch me. I haven't what? Ascended." So he can't lie, right? We're talking about Yeshua. So then he tells Thomas to touch me. What happened? So he must have ascended from that point, ascended, presented the first fruit, the wave offering. Remember, that's different than this offering that we're about, but he had to present that. And so we're going to look at these offerings and not to come before Yahweh empty handed. How significant is all that? Very to him. You might say, "Well, you know, I don't know if I'm." You can do whatever you want. I'm here to give you information. To Yahweh, it's very important that we should never come before him empty-handed. And I think we don't want to see these things and how important they are. And this is completely different what we're about to talk about dealing with this particular presentation than the one in during Passover. And so we'll see both of them because we dealt with unleavened bread from the barley harvest. Now we're going to deal with leavened bread from the wheat harvest. How many can see this? And how many like to know what all those things mean? Right? They're not just in there for any reason. You shall count for yourselves from the day after Sabbath, from the day when you brought the sheave of the wave offerings, there shall be seven complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days to the day after the Shabbat. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord, or to Yahweh. You shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. Verse 21, this same day you shall make a proclamation as well. I mean, see, that's an addition to what he already told us to do. If he says on the same day you shall make a proclamation as well, I mean, know what that term mean, as well. I mean, you did what you did already and you're going to do this also. You are to have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. It is to be a perpetual statute in all your dwelling place throughout your generations. How many see that? In addition to that, it's a holy convocation. What does that mean? Another Shabbat. Is that a weekly Sabbath? No. But it's still nonetheless it's a Sabbath. And that's what we to signify that as. So those are special services that you should have. That's why we're having special services during this time. They're special in addition to what you're used to doing. So he's saying in addition to what your habit is, just to remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Remember Sabbath to keep it holy. In addition to that, he said, set aside another day. How many see that? Very important. So number one, the giving of the Ten Commandments or the Torah. And also it's called the Tanakh. So you can keep those. So you see Tanakh, you see all that. Those all saying the same thing. So when it says Torah, a lot of people say, well, that's the first five books of the Bible. It's not just that. It's the sayings, the prophets, the Psalms, all of that together. So keep that in mind. So the giving of Ten Commandments or Torah starts there. But this is when, I mean, the anointing of the Lord is put come upon Moses, and the power of God is on him, and he's receiving. And so the giving of those commands. It should be noted here that the Hebrew word Torah, commonly translated as law in English, does not mean law, but instruction or teaching in the Hebrew language. So keep that in mind, because I think that's been a big part of people trying to steer away from law, because law has an appearance of being in bondage, but it's instructions and it's teaching. And so we don't want to steer away from instructions and teachings. So keep that in mind when you're doing your study. By understanding the meaning of the Hebrew word Torah, we can see that Torah was never intended, nor should it even be understood by non-Jewish people to mean a code of do's and don'ts. Rather, it should be seen as God's instruction and teaching to us so we can understand Him better. How many want to understand Him better? We can't without His instructions and His teachings. You can't understand Him. And so that it's almost like once the New Testament comes along, it's almost like we don't want to hear nothing from the Old Testament anymore, except for people who run off in these silly, whatever you want to call them, trails that they get on. And that's how you get in legalism and stuff. I never could figure that out. We were in bondage to legalism, but we never kept any of the feast. I mean, we just pick and choose. Oh, we want that one. You got to dress this, you know, you can't do that. But we don't want that feast days. You understand? It's like we picked some of them, but didn't do them. It didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense then to me. It still didn't make any sense. I don't care how many years go by. When you sit down and look at it, it doesn't make any sense. What is that? The enemy does everything he could to make sure that we're not staying sensitive enough to the things of God like we should. And this is what God has picked for us. Now watch this. Shavuot or Pentecost. I mean, understand when I talk about Shavuot or Pentecost, I'm talking about the same thing. But we've heard Pentecost, right? How many know they got people called Pentecostals? They don't keep the feast. I wonder what is that like? You know, maybe we could just go pick a nice, funny name in a scripture and we call ourselves that. But we don't keep what we call ourselves. It's amazing. Pentecost is called the season of the giving of Torah in Hebrew, because this is the literal day that God revealed Himself to the people of Israel as they stood at the base of Mount Sinai. Now, this had never happened before on this scale. Remember that. We're talking about a scale of a lot of people. Not 100 people. Not 1,000 people. Not 10,000 people. We're talking about million. Start there. Start with 1 million and growing. It's a lot of people. For God to reveal Himself. Now, listen. He revealed Himself to everyone there. Never happened before. He would reveal Himself to individuals, prophets, but never on a mass scale like this. This is powerful. This shows you that God's not, He don't just pick and choose to work through some and not the other. The heart of God was showed here, that I want to intimately expose myself to every one of you. I want you to know who I am. I am Yahweh and there's none like me. That's what He really wanted to do. And the people, you know, they stepped back and said, oh, no, we don't want this. Tell Moses and let him tell us. Because that was on them. That's all they ever understood for over 400 years. They was dealing with idol worship, because there's nothing more. Listen, if a man that's on this planet, whether it be a pastor, a priest, a clergy, or whatever it is your go-between you and Yahweh, that's nothing more than an idol. It's the same thing. And God says, we're not going to have that. That's not going to happen. He wants you to have that encounter. Because let me tell you, as long as there's somebody between you and God, you can always blame them for your lack of whatever. You see? Because the moment it goes wrong, it was Moses' fault. How many understood that? It was his fault. I mean, the moment it went wrong, it was his fault. But they're the ones, and there was God. He said, here I am. But they knew the moment that intimate encounter happened, they had to, all that stuff had to come off of them. And we know they didn't want to let it go. Let me tell you, it's hard to get the leaven out. Leaven don't just go out. It's hard. It's very hard. It's a conscious decision that you have to make. You got to participate in it on a daily basis. And let me show you Shavuot how to help you with removing the leaven and adding the leaven. That's the kind of part they go, what is he talking about? Get the leaven out, put the leaven back. Right? How many want to know that? We're going to learn that tonight. We ain't leaving until we know that. I hope I can speed up because I don't want to keep you here too late. Number two, the giving of the Holy Spirit or the Ruach HaKodesh by God. The Ruach HaKodesh is so important. And we ought to be able to know it in those terms. Ruach HaKodesh. Because Kodesh is really how it should be said, not using the word holy so much. And I know that, well, everybody goes, oh boy, here we go. But God, by his instructions, never called the Spirit holy. He called it Kodesh because there's two different meanings. Holy means something completely different than Kodesh. But here we are, you know, again, with these words, right? And we can always say, but to me. It's going to take some time for us. It really is. I'm going to give you a definition of what holy needs to mean to you, okay? And I'll tell you what it really means, and you'll see what my point is. So holy, and I don't have the word study or anything with me, and I guess I was supposed to do that tonight. But here I am talking about it, and here it pops up. So I give you the short version of it. I can always go deeper into it. But holy comes, it's where we get. How many ever seen these saints, the saints that they put up, and they always got a ring around their head? It's called the halo. The halo, it all derives from sun worship. Okay? That's where that word comes from. So, Holy Spirit, that word in front of spirit is where it derives from. How many see that? I'm just giving the information to you. And so what happens, it just carries on. We're going to have to finally come to the understanding that Christian living was hijacked a long time ago. The moment Christ left and the Ruach HaKodesh come, and then filled, after the apostles, when all the apostles were killed off, the only John left on the Isle of Patmos, it was hijacked by a Greco-Roman philosophy, and Philo and all these guys come in, and let me tell you, it went from there. It just hijacked. And it was purpose, and the church kind of figured out, well, let's just go to, we don't want to believe all what they say and we'll go here. We don't believe all what they say and we'll go there. And we call what's the Reformation. And we have the whole splitting up. We have now Catholicism and Protestants. And then all them split up. And then we have what we have all around the world. Just split after split after split and still splitting. I mean, it's splitting all the time. On a yearly basis, it's splitting. Because you got what's called church splitting. Right? So it splits, but and it's little small pieces of it, but nonetheless, it's all splintered up. It's in pieces. And it's amazing what's happening. But let's look at this. The Ruach HaKodesh. So Ruach is the breath, right? The Spirit of God. And the Kodesh, HaKodesh, is something that is describing it. And this is what the English interpretation of Kodesh is, holy. So when we hear the word holy, what we think about holy? We think that it's something to be honored, recognized, set apart, all those things, right? The best we can do right now is keep you with that thought. I got to reiterate that to you. Make sure you keep that thought because that's what Kodesh is really emphasizing here. Yeshua was resurrected on the Feast of First Fruits as the Bikurim. As we've seen in the previous chapter, 50 days after the resurrection of Yeshua, the Holy Spirit, or the Ruach HaKodesh, came to dwell in the hearts and lives of all the believers in Yeshua. So remember that. So he was resurrected on first fruits, the Bikurim, and was seen in the previous chapter, and we looked at that. We looked at that before. I gave some of this to you. 50 days after the resurrection of Yeshua, the Ruach HaKodesh comes. 50 days later, that's Shavuot, that's Pentecost, what we're about to celebrate here in just a couple of days. I have some of these on the slide. I don't have them all. I'm going to leave that screen up. You can write them down. If you want some interesting reading, there it is. We won't be able to cover all of these. I thought maybe I could just turn in our Bibles. We can read some of them. There's no way we can do them all and get through this. So I got some important things that I really want to get across. Let me go to the next slide. And these scripture here, I'll put it back in just a little bit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power after the Ruach HaKodesh, after Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. You shall be witnesses, and he's talking about receiving power after Ruach HaKodesh comes, and that's important. Acts 2, 1 through 18, all of these verses are here. We'll try to cover as many as we can. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves. And they rested on each of them. Now, this situation here is not the first time this happened. You remember they were at Mount Sinai, and the mountain is just flailing. Remember I said Sunday, it's rocking, it's moving, it's burning. There's a study done. Top scientists have went up to the charred parts of the mountain that's discovered. It's all fenced in. They don't want anybody. It's all there. They don't want anybody in there. I mean, military protects this compound because of the discoveries. The altar's there where the golden calf was. The rocket split in two is there where the water came out. How many understand what I'm talking about? It's all there. And you need to take the time to research that, and you can look at the documentary has been out. And he got it, all of his footage, and he got out, escaped with his life. Just the hand of the Lord was on him. Went in with no passports or anything to the Middle East. How you get in and out of that? And so you can look it up. You just kind of have to look up Mount Sinai discovery. You can research it and find some of the footage. It's fascinating. But all of that stuff's there. The fencing from the aerial shot, where he may say, make a border, tell them not to come close. You can see it from the air. It's incredible. But anyway, the top scientists get up there in the charred part. They said, okay, when everybody's scratching their head and they're all looking at each other, do y'all see what these readings are? How high it had to get up here? Okay, how did I get up here? Lightning, we tested that when it strikes and burns stuff and it's not close. You get my point? When the Ruach HaKodesh, when Yahweh himself settles down, it says the hills melt like wax. Remember that song? At the presence of the Lord. That's the Psalms. We read it and it's there. Listen, when Yeshua returns, his glory is going to destroy the Antichrist. But when we're talking about Yahweh, when he returns, the mountains flee. Do you understand that? And this mountain, what was happening to this mountain? It was trying to get up. I got to loosen myself. I can't, ain't no way I can hold the power. We're talking about the Most High God. And they up there going, yeah, it's burning. Uh-huh. We want Moses. You see my point? And I think the church is kind of lulled to sleep in the same position. Yeah, well, we're just waiting. We're going to be out of here. Don't make no difference. And all. It's just crazy. So, nobody's intimately trying to come closer to him. And so he can fix what's going on. And what do we got to do? We got to get rid of the leaven to put the leaven back in. How many want to know what that means? Right? Because we got rid of it. And now we're going 50 days late, and he says, don't come without leaven. Yes. You know what people do to fix that? Oh, that's a nice story. All right. and they talk about something, you know, just move on. They go to a comfortable scripture. They go to some spot where it's nice, where they've been for years, and they don't want to get out of that. Pray. That's what they do. And I can't understand that. I want to learn. I want to know. I want to be. I want the word of God to become real to me. And this is what happens when you look at this. And he said, there appeared these tongues of fire. What happened? It was like the fire was up there and they could see it. All of this is exactly what happened. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In some Jewish writings, it said that the people handed down, now this is historical writings. Now, this is not Torah. I'm going to say this. I want to make sure you're clear on it. That when the voice spoke, it was at such the right vibration. Because how many of you know that the whole entire universe is on the right vibrations, everything. My sound that you're hearing, it wouldn't work without the right vibration. And so I had to be created with something on the inside, a vocal box that makes sure that when the air goes through, isn't it crazy that I can make these sounds from air? You think God's incredible? Well, what about if he speaks? It said when he spoke, everything he spoke was in such vibration that every language understood what he was saying. What does that remind you of? Remember Acts 2? They spoke when the Ruach HaKodesh come. And what? How is it we hear in our own language? Same thing happened at Mount Sinai. There's only one speaker there. You see what God, how incredible God is? Everything's the same. So I hope that you're seeing this stuff. Now, there was Jews living, and it goes on and talks about this language. They came together. They heard. Then I'm not going to read all of these scriptures, but they all were there. They were saying they were full of sweet wine. And then Peter, taking his stand with the 11, verse 14, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is but the third hour of the day. It's about 9 in the morning, but this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it's a powerful passage. Again, I'll take some time. We can maybe go over this a little bit more extensively. But let's look at a comparison, right? I've talked about two events, Sinai, Book of Acts. Let's look at a comparison. I'll give you a few things because I got to move through this. Shavuot in the Tanakh, the Tanakh's Torah. So remember that. That's the Tanakh represents the entirety of what people have described as Old Testament, right? That's what they have described as it's the Tanakh. So keep that in mind. Exodus 19, you can read that on your own time. It's a great read. It talks about all of that stuff at that Sinai experience, okay? Now we're going to give all of them to you. Exodus 19, Moses on Sinai. You read that, and then I'm going to give you the breakdown. Number one, 50 days. So from the time they went through the Red Sea, went through the Red Sea. Well, the Red Sea represents what? The baptism. The baptism. So he takes them out of Egypt. What's happening the entire time they're coming out of Egypt? The leaven, they started, remember Passover? What are they eating? Unleavened bread. Unleavened bread. Did they change eating unleavened bread? No. They made bunches and bunches and bunches and bunches of unleavened bread. When they ran out of unleavened bread, what kind of bread did they get? Manna. There you go. Straight from heaven. Manna. So they ate manna and they ate manna and they ate manna. But is that about to change? Yes, it is. They come for Shavuot. They're going to eat the fruit of the land. What happens the day they get the fruit of the land? What happened to the manna? The manna ceased. It was over. I mean, see that. It's all patterns. We're going to show you how it works in the New Testament as we get there. So 50 days, they get to Mount Sinai. Number two, commandments of God written on tablets of stone. Exodus 24:12. You can read that on your own time. I can't go to all of them. But the commandments are written on stone. Number three, written by the finger of God. Now, in historical events, They declare that in historical writings that when God wrote this through the stone, and this wasn't, I don't want you to think these narrow plates that you see on the, that we've always seen, right? How many have seen that? These narrow plates We're not talking about that. We're talking about think cube, block. And when he wrote it, it went clean through, and when you, no matter what side you read it from, it was exactly right. Now, I want you to think about it. It wasn't just kind of etched on there. Completely through. He lays it out. Perfectly read from any side, any way you look at it, you can see the word, the Torah. We're talking about a mighty God. So I know we got all this fancy stuff. We want to make it nice. We want to put it in a way where we can understand it. And we want to keep stuff in a dimension where our brain works. But we're not talking about just in our dimension. We're talking about the Most High God. And so we want you to keep that in mind about that. Number four, 3,000 slain on that day, Mount Sinai. Why were they slain? Well, Cole, let me just give you this quickly. Moses is up there, and him and God is having this talk, and he's telling them, this is what you don't do, this is what you don't know. He gave them 10. They heard them with their own ears, and they said, stop. Let Moses go get the rest. We don't want to, You know what that's a sign of? You want the leaven. But if you'll humble yourself and let it just come out, weep before the Lord, then it'll come out. But you can hold whatever you want. But listen, so Moses is up there. He says, you need to get down. Because they done convinced Aaron to make a golden calf. This is all in the documentary. They found all the site, all that. The golden calf is etched in the stone there, like a blueprint. In this documentary, there it is. It's etched. Why do they want that? Because that's what they were used of. They were used to their idol mediator, the bull. You know, we want us a nice male. Not Yahweh. And so he said, get down. And so he gets down, and Moses, of course, comes down and says, you know. And so, now, don't you understand, these were the leaders, not just 3,000 random. These were the ones who plotted it up. These the schemers, the conniving, those that they were anti-God, anti-everything. He said, you get them together, and 3,000 of them went down that day. These were the planners, not the women and children of a certain family. These were the planners. These were the guys that said, listen, we want a calf and we're going to have it. Hey, don't you want a calf? Yeah. All right. And they're the ones that went through the camp, over 1 million people, and they convinced them, we want a camp. We want this. And they ripped their clothes off and started worshiping in the nude, naked. And here Moses comes down and says, you have no idea what you just did. There's the grace of God comes in again. It's going to kill them all, right? Kill every one of them. Give me a man and a woman from somewhere else. We'll get them some children, and boom, we'll go on. But he graced them. Give me all the brains. I want all them thinkers that thought this and plotted this up. They had all this time. I took you through the Red Sea. You could have drowned, but I washed you. I baptized you. I immersed you in my presence. But you didn't. You come over to this mountain and you're going to talk to me and you're going to cite the crowd. He got rid of them. 3,000 slain. Boom. There they go. Number five, the letter of Torah. So it was stated. Now, this was not if you want, maybe you can. This is do it, thou shall. Right? And it's all coming from Yahweh, your Elohim says. Yahweh, your Elohim says. And it goes on and on. And number six, they're at Mount Sinai. So these are the verses for that. Now, second thing. Shavuot in the Brit Hadashah. So if you want to know what New Testament means, there it is, Brit Hadashah. The Brit Hadashah, and we'll look at Jeremiah. I did put Jeremiah here because it's important, so you'll see it. I'm going to read it while you're writing it down. Jeremiah 31 through 33 says, behold, the days are coming. I like that. Let me tell you, when you read something like that, that's hope right there. Behold, the days are coming, declares Yahweh. When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hands to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke altogether, broke, although I was a what to them? A husband to them. I was a husband to them. I didn't even get on the betrothal part. That's what happened at Mount Sinai. Maybe I can do that on Sunday and some on Saturday. There's so much more to talk about. There's a lot of stuff when talking about Shavuot. He said, but I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. Now watch this, this last part. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares Yahweh. I will put my law within them, and on their hearts will I write it. That's different. That's the Brit Hadeshah. This is the new covenant. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now if he says it's a new covenant, does that mean that the first covenant that they broke, that's just done away with? That's what people think, though. We're not under that old covenant anymore. We're under the new covenant. But they don't know what that means. That's the part that just, I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Well, just sin all you want? What does that mean? We're under the new covenant. Okay, explain it to me. They can't. Explain it. What's the rules of the new covenant? They don't know. Because they ain't about to go back and keep the pattern so they'll see what Yeshua HaMashiach did. They won't do it. People's afraid of it. It's new. Okay, but what is it? What's the rules? What's the regulations? Well, I don't know. It's grace. All right? I know I'm a grace believer. Okay, what else? That's what happens. I'm not trying to be fun. That's what happens. Nobody can explain it because they think it's just new and I'm under it and I'm good. I don't have to do anything. Well, just because it's new don't mean you don't have to still follow the instructions and the teachings, right? It could be new. Good thing it's new because that's the grace part. We got another chance. So this is important. So listen, I will put my law within them. Now, what is he going to put in them? Somebody help me here. I won't use the word law, I'll just use it in the original. I will put my Torah in them. What does that mean? My instructions, my teachings in them. So what's the new part is it's not on stone, it's now in you. You see? But nobody can explain that. I want that. But what is it? Was it something different in you? No. How many see this? Am I making this up or is it on this page? Is this what we see in the scripture? This is what he tells us. This is Jeremiah. He said, and I will be their God and they shall be my people. What did he want to do at Mount Sinai? He said, I'm going to make all of you priests today. Today is priest day. Everybody come on up here and get your priest button because everybody's going to be a priest. You don't think God was serious? He was about to promote every one of them to a priest status. They rejected him. What happens to us, according to Peter, once we come in serving the Lord? We think, well, I ain't a preacher because I don't have to really live my life. He says, don't you know that you're a kingdom of priests to Yahweh, your Elohim? Oh, you mean, yeah, maybe you're not the speaker, but that don't matter. Because once you accept Yeshua, HaMashiach, the Messiah inside of you, he says you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's what he declares over us. But we don't see that. And so what happens? We live below that status. And we think that's why the devil says, huh, I got you right where I want you. Beat you down. Because we don't see ourselves with the authority. Well, let's look at how they compare. Now, this is the Brit Hadeshah or the New Testament. The 50 days, right? From the Red Sea to Mount Sinai, 50 days. From the first fruit, the resurrection of Jesus, first fruit. 50 days later, we have Pentecost. Number two, commandments of God written on our hearts. I read Jeremiah already. There's some more scripture. Psalms 40, verse 8. 37, 31. Isaiah 51, 7. Ezekiel. It's all through there. I don't have time to go over all these verses. Because there's so much stuff to talk about to get. But there they are. And these you can always get these off of the... If you need them, just let me know. But these are good verses to read. 2 Corinthians 3:3, Hebrews 8:10, all of these verses. Number three, written by the Spirit of God. Written by the Ruach HaKodesh. Right? Written by the Ruach HaKodesh. It's very important. And that's 2 Corinthians 3:3. Hebrews 8:10 again. Very important passage. Number four, 3,000 lived. 3,000 lives were saved. How many seen that? How many died at Sinai? How many lived after the Pentecost? 3,000, remember? 3,000 added. Does anybody see what's called a what here, what we've been talking about? Pattern. Do you see it? You can't make, I ain't making this up. Why there wasn't 4,000 saved? Peter preached. The Ruach HaKodesh was released. And what 3,000 people did? Took the leaven out and come to know the Yeshua HaMashiach. That's what they did. They stood and they come in to that church. They needed that addition to the church at that particular time. And that's what could have happened at Sinai. But 3,000 died there. 3,000 lived at Pentecost. How many see that? Isn't that ever wondered what? Yeah, how many's ever read that? 3,000 souls were saved. You know how many times I've heard that preached? I was a kid. I used to preach that a lot. 3,000 souls, because you know we come from holiness Pentecostal, you know, full gospel. 3,000. You need to get the Holy Spirit on you, man. The Holy Ghost get on you. 3,000 people get saved. That's what we need. And nobody ever said that there was a connection between the 3,000 who died and the 3,000 who lived. Wouldn't that have been good information? Number five, the spirit of Torah, Romans 7:6, 2 Corinthians 3:36, all of these verses, you look at these, they're powerful, 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 the spirit of Torah. And we see that very important. All of a sudden, we see something enveloping in us. One of them I have to read for you, and that's that 2 Corinthians. Can we go there real quick? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse number 6 of 2 Corinthians 3. It says this, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit of Torah. And remember, the letter of the spirit of Torah. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. So, that's what scripture people go to. Well, brother, we're not under the letter of the law. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. All right, I'm good with that. I listed that. Spirit of Torah, explain it to me. See my point? That's what happens every time. Nobody's explaining what he's talking about here. What is happening here? It's not when this takes place. It's written on the tables of your heart. The Ruach HaKodesh gives the power for that to enable us to begin to live out and act out the instructions and the teachings of Yahweh. That's what it does. Other than that, all they had it was on written, and you look at it. Okay, it says, this is what it says. Now it's on the inside of us, and we have the power of Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit power on the inside. Number six, Mount Sinai. Okay, we have Mount Sinai in the first one, now Mount Zion. And we looked at that, and there's the verses of Scripture for that. I can come back at so many other times. We can come back throughout the year and look at some of this stuff, but there's so much to talk about. I got to get to this part, or it won't get it done tonight. And I'm running short here on time. The two loaves of Shavuot. I need you to have this because I want you to be prepared for Saturday. Okay? The two loaves of Shavuot. So I want you to understand what is he talking about. Leviticus 23:9-14. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I am going to give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring the sheave of the first fruit of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheave before Yahweh for you to be accepted on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. When? The day after the Sabbath. Now, on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb, 1 year old, without defect, for a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering by fire to the Lord for a soothing aroma, with its drink offering, 1/4 of a hin of wine. Okay? So keep that in mind. Verse 14, until this same day, until you have brought in the offering of your God, you shall eat neither bread nor roasted grain nor new growth. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generation and all your dwelling places. Okay, that is value. So the wave sheaf was to be the offering of first fruits of the harvest. So we went over that during Passover, and I'm reading it to you how it's sequenced out in the scripture. They were not allowed to eat any of the grain of the first harvest until after this offering was made. What did the wave sheaf represent? What did it represent? The wave sheaf, what did it represent? 1 Corinthians 15:20 says this, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Remember that. So who's the first fruit? Christ. Yeshua is the first fruits. He's been raised, and then once he's raised, that's the first fruits. What happened? It has to be waved before Yahweh, and that's what happened. Then we start after the day after the Sabbath, we start counting because we got to get to Shavuot. Okay? So keep this in mind because I can't explain the loaves unless you see it in its entirety, and we just went through Passover, so I don't want to take a chance that you may have forgotten some of this stuff that we looked at. Who or what did the wave sheaf represent? Who is the first fruit? Yeshua. He is the first fruits of all who will be born into Yahweh's kingdom. What about the two loaves of bread that were a wave offering on Shavuot? Now, how many know what the wave offering was on Passover? When we had Passover, first fruits, the wave offering, what was that? That was the first of the grain. They couldn't eat none of it until that was presented. So what did they do? They went in, they bind the sheaves. Remember, I went over all this with you during Passover. The sheave is bound, and then they wait, because it's got to be right, because we got to have the beef, right? A beef has to be in place before the barley can be cut. And they go, the beef's ready. Bind it. It's going to match the Shabbat, the regular weekly Shabbat. It's going to come. So we know that stuff's going to start to happen. The lamb is taken on the 10th. It's killed on the 14th. You have the meal in the 15th, the 3 days and three nights. The first, and we have resurrection, first fruit. All of these things are significant. Everything's important. And so we had that happen. Yeshua's being the first fruit of who's going to be born in the kingdom. Now the two loaves on Shavuot, what could these loaves represent? I want you to know, Leviticus 23:17, you shall bring in from your dwelling place. Where shall you bring it from? Your dwelling place. Where did the barley come from? Out of the field. Remember that, because they couldn't bring in that. They weren't allowed to go and harvest the beef. It says it's ready, it's ripened. Could they go get it, thrash it and all that? No, they had to sheave it and bring in the sheave. The whole thing bundled. It was not processed. But he says here, you shall bring it from your dwelling places, two loaves of bread for a wave offering made with 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be a fine flour baked with leaven as what? First fruits to Yahweh. Are you getting this? There's a difference. Now we got wheat. So the wheat's, now we have first fruits. It's coming from where? Your dwelling. Comes from your dwelling. How many want to participate in this? Now, listen, anything we participate, I just want everybody to know, we're doing it as reminders. None of that gets you like qualified. The only thing qualifies is the blood of Jesus that you and I have been cleansed by, and the fact that he died, he resurrected, he rose again, he's the first fruit, we're following him. But how many know that we do things in life as reminders, and then when it comes to the scripture, oh, you know, I don't want to get subject to, you know, being, you know, following the letter. What are you going to follow? You know, we've been following pagan ideas. Only follow the Lord. right? So if anybody ever asks you, approach you with that, that's a good answer for them. You can answer them just like I just answered you. How many can remember that? So watch this. Notice that these loaves are also a first fruit offering. How many see that? So we have first fruits during barley. We have first fruits during the wheat. The barley comes out the fields. The first fruits of the wheat comes out of your dwelling from your house. If the wave sheaf represents Yeshua ascending to the Father, then what do these two wave loaves represent? Why were the two loaves to be leavened? None of the normal grain offerings were ever contained leaven. There's a reason why. None of them. This is the only one. Why? Let's look at it. Leviticus chapter 2 verse 11 says this: no grain offering which you bring to Yahweh shall be made with leaven, for you shall not offer up in smoke any leaven or any honey as an offering by fire to Yahweh. Did he not say no leaven? I just read it to you. Then why does it say leaven? Why are we adding leaven? Now he says no grain offering. Is wheat grain? Yes. Which you bring to Yahweh shall be made with leaven. How many see that? So you're reading along and you come and go, oh yeah, no leaven. Then he goes over here and says, leaven. What do you do with it? It's got to be significant, doesn't it? Yahweh specifically told Israel to leaven the loaves that were to be offered. And also notice that these loaves were to come from the people. Where they come from? The people. The loaves were to come from their own dwelling. What did the leaven in these loaves represent? Who wants to take a shot at it? No leaven, leaven. John chapter 6, verse 32 through 34. And Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Verse 34, then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Always give us this bread. When Yahweh brought Israel from Mitzrayim, this is Egypt, they were de-leavened. That was what the whole process was. Remember, unleavened bread? He's de-leavening them. Get rid of all that pagan ideas, pagan worship, participation, festivals, holidays. He's de-leavened. How many think we've been going through the de-leavening process? That's a good way to put it, ain't it? Somebody said, what y'all been doing at church? De-leavening? And then you go call them up and say, hey, we have an leavened bread. You want to come? They're going to go, what are you talking about? Thought y'all been de-leavening. Let's look at it. So we were de-leavened, and then he began to feed them manna, which he provided for them. The manna represents the word, Yeshua, that was going to come down with the bread of life in the future. Now understand this. The leaven in the loaves represented the people being leavened with the true word. The leaven in the wheat represents the people being leavened with the true word. So you got to get unleavened to be leavened. Does that make sense to everybody? You got to be unleavened. You got to get out the old. All the nonsense, all the stuff people said all the years, and then you got to be, you got to be leavened. Now, I didn't make this up. This is not my idea. I'm telling you what Yahweh made a provision. Because what he said, don't bring grain offering with leaven. You can't offer it to Yahweh. It's won't accept it. Then he says, put leaven. Well, we got to understand, if he says put leaven, there's got to be a reason that, listen, he says, I'm going to take out the nonsense, but what I'm going to put in you is going to be the word of God. It's going to be my word. How many see that? So, the leaven in the loaves represents the people being leavened with the true word, the bread of life, after they have been de-leavened and purified from the world. How many ready to enter into that? So we've gone through that process this whole time. We're teaching, we're training, we're looking at the scripture. We're realizing we've made mistakes and we went in error. We deviated, we got off course, and we got to de-leaven ourselves. So what, you know what most people do in the church world? They look at the worst of the worst. They look at the world, the people who don't serve God. That's what they look at, and they say, we're not like them. We're much better. And they very well be telling the truth. They're much better. Don't mean you don't have leaven. And how much of leaven is he going to accept from that standpoint? None. So they can have boatloads of leaven. You got a little. You still wind up in the same spot. Because remember, this is his people he took out of Egypt. He took his people out of Egypt. And he's telling, now you got to get de-leaven. I got to get all that out. And then he's showing them what this important wave offering is. If the wave sheaf represented Yeshua raising up to the Father, do the loaves represent something ascending as well? If these leavened loaves came from the people themselves, and they were also called first fruits to Yahweh, what do the loaves picture? Because they're called the same thing. What they're called? First fruits. They come from the dwelling of the people, though. The resurrection and transformation of the set apart ones. So what am I doing in Shavuot? I'm saying, I'm preparing, and I'm so excited about the day that our Lord returns, Yeshua HaMashiach returns in the resurrection. He's the first fruit, then everything has its order. When I come with the loaves of bread with the leaven in it, I'm saying, I am so excited. I am so ready for the resurrection. That's what I'm saying. I'm ready for the resurrection. And you're doing it, so it's a time of worship. It's a celebration. It's a time of festivities and being actively involved in what's happening and what the Lord has prepared for us. I hope you understand that. How many is clear on that? The loaves picture those who raised to meet Yeshua and are changed and entered the kingdom. How many know that that's going to happen? There's going to be a raising. We're going to meet Yeshua and we enter the kingdom. It is those who have been prepared, who have responded to the Father's call and de-leavened themselves of this world, its ways, and separated themselves. It is those who have leavened themselves with the words of Yahweh. We de-leaven so we can leaven. Is this helping anybody? Listen, I would our church would understand how important it is, whether it's a Sunday morning or a Thursday Bible study. If I'm going to come and teach the scripture, this is important stuff. This is very important stuff. And this is the time I'm just giving you this information. I want you to be well equipped. I want you to have all the information you need to do what you need to do to live for the Lord. So we unleaven. We get all the stuff we've been doing. And I hope that you see, I hope this explains. When I was going over there, I said, you know, Lord, finally, I believe this is an explanation. If you want to know what's been going on for the last 3 to 4 years, there's been a de-leavening process. And now we're going to leaven up. And we have a Shavuot to help us do that every year. We have Shavuot, the day of Pentecost. It's a time the Ruach HaKodesh comes, empowers us. But don't forget, from your dwelling. So what I'd like you to do is take some time. Take some time. You get in your house and you get you some flour, some fine flour. And get you a nice bread going. 2 loaves. And bring it from your dwelling for Saturday night. How would that be? You say, is that going to make a difference? No, it's just, we're going to eat it. But the fact that you would take the time and you would contemplate that. You know why? Because we took time for every other thing. Every other pagan thing we did, we took time for it. We dedicated our life to it. We spent a lot of money in it. And let me tell you, and all of a sudden you mention something like this and it kind of, people get a little off. Listen, this, I'm telling you, this is serious to God. Take some time. You bake a bread and you make it leaven and do something. Take some time with it. It don't have to be everybody have the same bread. But it should be, look, bake it with fine flour. Let it raise. And get some good hot, I want some of it. Some good butter melted on it. Ooh, it's hot. Saturday night, by the way. Saturday night, we're going to have just a display on. And we're going to have, because remember, it's called a feast. This is a feast. It's one of the three pilgrimage feasts. And they some of the things they ate, when you go back and read the history of why they had to eat this, we're going to have that and celebrate. We're going to have a good time. Amen? So the next time, we're going to get this thing on, because it takes a while. When you hadn't done any of this for a while, look how everything else catches on, right? It catches on, and you teach generation after generation. How many of you know when your kids were little and they didn't know anything about those holidays? You taught them, and they grew up, and then they did them. They learned them. Same thing with this. Before you know it, it's going to be second nature to us. It's going to be what we do. It's going to be a habit of ours. But if unless I teach this, you read over the two loaves, but it don't stick out. It's not like something stands out. How many are glad we went over this teaching? Now you see why it's leavened. Yeah. You know it now. You, that's it. It's going to be etched in you. You know why it's leavened. So we de-leaven to leaven. The leaven represents the word of God. The truth. It represents the truth. She's at the well. Some say do this. Some say do that. Woman, you're going to get de-leavened. And I'm going to leaven you. Without this information, you couldn't even add that in that sermon, right? You understand? But you can now. And it's all throughout the scripture. So it is those who have leavened themselves with the word of Yahweh, the bread of life, the word who came in the flesh. So we have that. So the word of God, what Yahweh spoke, manifested. And there he was, born into the world. It's very important. All of it's exact. Yahweh and have made themselves clean and undefiled. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not be not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, even so, God will bring him, with him, those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. This is an event that hadn't happened. Yet there's this belief that, I don't know what it is. This has not happened. It's an event. It's a big event to Yahweh. I don't know what he thinks. He may say, why are y'all so far ahead? Got everybody raised. And he says it's an event that's going to happen. He tells us when it's going to happen, when the Lord descends. Amen? I mean, is this clear? To me it is. It's just clear. Verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. That's the comfort we have. So Shavuot is a direct remembering of this also. The wave, the offering from your own dwelling with the leaven. You're saying, I have been de-leavened. Of those waves, I have now leavened with the truth of the word, and now I wave it, and I'm. It's a first fruit. Remember, it's a first fruit. So what does that tell me? It's a resurrection. It's saying, I need to remember that he was raised. How many know his resurrection already happened? Talking about Yeshua. He was the first fruit. It already happened. But we have a time period. We got to wait. Everything has its order, its proper order. We haven't had the resurrection yet. It's gone. It's coming. But we haven't had it. So I hope that I know I went fast with a lot of this, but I had to get to this part. So I hope that I gave you enough information to help you be comfortable with what I'm going to ask you to do. for Saturday night. So Saturday and Sunday morning, those two things is going to be times that we're going to have bread. We're going to have stuff to drink. We're going to have bread and other things. There'll be other things. But you are responsible to bring some bread. Now, I'm just asking you that. Does it make that you have to do it like there's some spiritual significance where you won't get, you know, healing or whatever? No. I'm just saying, you know, you are responsible to bring bread. If you don't bring no bread from your own dwelling, how are you participating in memories and commemorating and memorializing this event? Are we, can we recreate this event? No, but we can remember it. That's what we do, right? How many of you ever had a birthday and you had a, like a party? Does that mean that was, you was just born? No, you was remembering when you was born. Shavuot. We're going to remember it. So listen, find flour. So you get some flour. It don't matter. Listen, don't. You take some time, whatever you want to do. But you can be creative in your bread making, whatever you want to do, as long as it raises. Don't bring no flat bread. No short bread. It's got to raise. Right? It's got to be puffed up with the word. It's got to be puffed up with truth. Why do we de-leaven? We let the air of pride out. And we flatten it down. And then let God, by his word, come in and he puffs it back up. Isn't that incredible? You're going to remember this for the rest of your life. This is what God, and you, you know, I can't understand. You go to, you, people in churches are like, they're still talking about this and that. It's just, when do you want to learn something? You want to learn so you can grow in God. You figure out, you know what, I can be strong. So take some time. Saturday night, when you get here, the first thing we're going to do when you get here, we're going to have a song of celebration, and we're going to stop. And then we're going to celebrate. We're going to have stuff set up in the foyer in different places. We're going to set up some little spots for people to just hang out, walk around. Anybody's ever done that before? Sure we have. I'm sure we have walked around. You've been to weddings, and they have receptions, and you're walking around, and you're chit-chatting, and all that stuff. So you know how to do that. So we don't have to have a class on that. That's going to come natural. But what you're going to be doing, you're going to be in an environment where you're going to say, wow, the word, the truth, it's beautiful. And we're going to get to see it on display. So, you know, we want leavened bread. We're going to have, don't worry about butter and all that stuff. You just bring the bread. Two loaves. It's easy. It's not expensive. It's not a big expense that you're going to have to do. So take some time. You say, well, I ain't no baker. Get with a baker. Get with one. You can take people and say, hey, can you help me with my bread? Yep. That's fine. That way you come with it in your hand. So I know we said, we're going to do it all that bread. Whatever we don't eat, maybe we can give away. Maybe we can stop by. We'll give you a bag. You stop by your neighbor and say, hey, this is our bread from Shavuot. I just want to bless you. They're going to go, what's that? What's Shavuot? There you go. You're going to say, you don't know what Shavuot is? And you better tell them, right? Because I don't want you to say, oh, it's our Pentecost celebration. They'll think it's something else. They'll think, they might ask you, did you get it? Did y'all get it? No, just tell them Shavuot. Okay? So, two loaves per family, not individual. Okay, out your dwelling, there's two loaves per dwelling. So, bring two loaves of bread Saturday when you come to church. Okay? How many can remember that? It's going to be great. We're going to have so much bread. It's going to be, I can't wait. Some good butter melting on it. Whew. And some coffee. We'll have coffee, juice. We're going to have all that stuff set up. And it's going to be nice. Amen? How many excited about that? I hope people's excited. I hope they didn't plan themselves right out of the hot bread. I don't know. We've been announcing this for a long time. Maybe not the two loaves, but Shavuot. That's just an addition to it. Amen? All right. Well, that's it. We'll see y'all on Saturday. I also will be doing some teaching on Saturday in between. So we're going to be doing different things. Saturday is going to be just completely different than anything we've ever done. Completely different. And then Sunday morning, we'll have more of a traditional time when we do our song. But we're going to still continue with the festivities on Sunday morning. And then going into Sunday night, and then we get Then we end these feast cycle and we get ready for the next one, right? So the spring cycle ends, fall cycle comes, and that's a whole set of feasts all its own. It's going to be something. I can't wait. And there's a lot of teaching in it. So you listen, I don't know. There's no possible way you run out of stuff to say during the year. Can you see my point? If I'm taking the words of Jesus and we're going over that and then we're doing the feast days and we're teaching all that, you just filled up with all kinds of stuff. And so we can, and then each one in between you can take, like the Brit Hadishah, if we did just start teaching the New Testament, we'll start and just go through it. It'd be incredible. So I'm excited about Saturday. I can't wait to see some of the nice loaves, and we're going to put them on display. And it don't matter. Listen, this is not a contest at all. Don't be no contest. We ain't going to have no, it's you bake your bread. I don't care what style you do. You could do it in a loaf. You could do it in a, however it is. I don't know. Some make them round. I don't, just make sure it's not flat. That is the criteria. Because I'm going to tell you, not for my sake. If you bring in anything that's not puffed up, you know that your brothers and sisters are going to go, ain't got much word there, brother. A little lacking in the word. So anyway, the leaven's going to help you with all that, right? So the word will help you. So thank you for being here tonight. We love you. Thank God for all of you. And we'll see you Saturday night. God bless you.